Father God, we love you. We just thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you for just this time that as a class we've had to just lift up VBS to you. God, a lot of people from the outside look in at this and they think, oh, we're just, you know, doing something for the kids, Lord. But Lord, we're doing something for the kingdom of God. And so I pray that you're in it, Lord. I pray that you have been in it. You've been in the planning. And I pray that you're in the details. God, I pray for the leaders. I pray for Chris and Lauren and just wisdom as they navigate just the craziness that comes over the next several days. I pray you give them health and wisdom and just allow them to lead us well. Lord, I pray for just those who have vital roles in just getting the Word of God to the kids week in and day out. You know, they're going to have people teaching them. They're going to have people giving them snacks and giving them the Word of God then. We're going to have memory verses. We're going to have all of these things, Lord, and I pray that you are the center of it. I pray that you get glorified. I pray that you're with the nearly 100 people that are going to be here serving, allow them to be here, allow them to have the right heart to be here. God, I pray that you would just use this time to transform us as a body into just a disciple-making factory this week. And Lord, I know that's what we do week in and week out, but I pray that this week especially, man, we are just hyper-vigilant to get the Word of God to these kids. And a lot of them know it, but some of them may not. And God, if there was only one, it would be worth it. And so I pray that the gospel is clearly presented. I pray that you get the glory for all of it. As much fun as we're going to have, I pray that you are the center of it, Lord. I pray you'd speak to us today as we get back into the book of Romans. As we talk about just a little bit of a difficult subject, God, I pray that you would just give us wisdom through it, and that you would get the glory for all of it. Be with Bo as he preaches today in main service. Be with the team from Maple City as they travel back today. I thank you for just allowing them to be here and minister to us and alongside us this week. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 15. So I knew that was going to take a little bit of time, and that's okay because that's important. What's that? Well, it was important. I have no idea if there's potatoes in that or not. So, okay. If you have your Bibles up in Acts chapter 15, we don't have a ton of time, but I want to finish up Acts 15 today. So it'll be good. So you guys are late, so you'll have to now pray in front of everybody for VBS instead of at your own table. So she's not even listening. Acts chapter 15. Sorry, I'm trying to like delay just a little bit for everybody to kind of get settled. But it is always awkward for me. I don't know. It shouldn't be, but it is. It's more awkward for the people listening on the recording, and so. And it's just like, why are they not doing anything? So, what? What's that? I'm not doing nothing.
Happy birthday to you.
Friday. I can say, so since that got brought up, I can say with the surety that I was already officially old, and after the week that Paige had, I think she feels it as well. So she's been under the weather all week. Today has been the first day that I feel like she's probably fully human, and God's good. So thank you guys for loving us. And so, okay, Acts chapter 15. So Acts 15, I don't really have time to do review, other than the fact of where we're at, with Paul and Barnabas. They get back from their first trip and there's an issue. As soon as they get back, there's people that are like, yeah, but these Gentiles, they need to be circumcised. They need to live by the law of Moses, right? And so they're like, wait a minute, no, they don't. And so there's this big division. So what happens? They basically get taken to the quote-unquote principal's office. They have to go down to the Jerusalem church and let them sort it all out. And so they sort it all out. They're like, no, the Gentiles don't have to live by the law of Moses. They don't have to be circumcised. Here's a few guidelines that they should probably live by. And other than that, take that back to the church and and that's what's going on. And just to make sure that you know, there's no more division when you get there about, well, that's not really what they said, we're going to send a couple witnesses, a couple faithful men, Silas and Judas, with them to kind of explain to the church at Antioch, no, this is what they said. And so we did all that. You can go back and listen to that the last couple weeks, since that's where we've been. Excuse me. So Acts 15, pick up, let's just read, let's pick up in verse 33. And I want to read through the end of the chapter. And this passage, there's so much that could be said. And there's so much that I need to be careful with, just because it's super personal. Just sometimes, you ever have a passage in the Bible that's like, I can't read that and not think about this. I can't read that and not, this doesn't come to mind. And so, but God's good. And so there's a purpose in all of it. And so anyway, let's just pick up here in verse 33. And it says, and after they, meaning Silas and Judas, right? Well, back up to verse 32, because this is where we really hit the thrust last week. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves. Remember, that was the question, like, can that be said of you? Are you a prophet also yourself? Can that be said of your testimony? So anyway, it says they did what? Exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And then in verse 33, and after they had tarried there a space, we don't know how long that space was, but they had been at Antioch for a while, these two guys. They were let go in peace from the brethren under the apostles, meaning they were like, okay, now you can head back to Jerusalem. What you came for, we get it. It's all good. We thank you for your edification. You're free to go. You know, Southwest, you're free to move about the country. Right? You can do whatever you need to do. Head back. Okay. And then in verse 34, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. So Silas decides, you know, I'm just going to hang here. I kind of like it here. I like the people here. You know, I think God's doing something here. That's awesome. Okay. In verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Okay, so before we transition to verse 36, so Paul and Barnabas, they went on this trip. They were gone for a while. They were beat, persecuted, all these different things, nearly to death. Paul was to death at one point, and God brings him back to life. All this is happening. They come back, and so they're like back at home. And so, you know, people are wondering, like, what are Paul and Barnabas going to do? Like, they went, and now they're back. And so they're just hanging out for a while. You know, and so now Silas is hanging out there too. And, you know, things at the church are happening. Okay. But, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city which we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. He's like, hey, let's just go back and, you know, let's go do it again. Like, let's go see how these churches are doing. Like, let's just check in on them. Let's see what's happening. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So you read that, and this is one of those Bible passages that, like, if you know, you know. Like, for one, if you know the context of what's happening, you know. Because some people read that and they're like, I don't really know what that means, right? And then on a personal level, if you know, you know, right? If you've been there, you've been there. And it's just hard. And so let me just ask you, somebody, because somebody has to know, like, what's going on here? Like, what exactly, just explain to the class, what exactly is happening here? Why did it go from, hey, let's go check on the churches, to there's a contention so sharp between these two brethren in the Lord, like tightly knit brethren, that they split and they go on two separate trips? What's going on here? Somebody's got, I know somebody knows. I know multiple people know. Yeah, like, yes, that's exactly right. And I'm actually really glad that it wasn't Chris or Mitch that answered. It wasn't one of, you know, and so, not that you guys can't answer, but I'm just, that's exactly right. So, if you have your, I know you have your Bibles, flip back over a couple pages. Acts chapter 13 and verse 13. So they're in the middle of their first trip. They're going to these different churches. They're doing these different things. And remember, on their first trip, they took John Mark with them. And we didn't really know anything about it other than they were going on this trip, and they took this guy with them, a younger guy with them. And this is all we hear about this until now, right, until we get to chapter 15. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 13, it says, "Now Paul and his company loosed from Paphos," so they were leaving this town, "they came to Pergia and Pamphylia." I don't have time to tell you all the things that were happening in Pergia and Pamphylia, all the things that had happened up to this point on this trip. But it wasn't just like a vacation, right? Paul and Barnabas weren't on vacation. It was rough sledding everywhere they went. So much so, like, beat, you know, persecuted, stoned to death. Things weren't easy, okay? It says, when they got to Pamphylia, and then it says, "And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." And I told you when we went through this, just bookmark that. Because I didn't have time to get there. And I'm like, just bookmark that. Because there's something here. So John, for whatever reason, he's on the mission. He's doing the thing. And for whatever reason, John, he's like, I'm going home. And that's all we really hear. We don't hear why he went home. We don't know what the circumstances were. I don't know if mom was sick. I don't know if he was sick. I don't know if, you know, I don't know. We don't know. And that's just it. We don't know. So you have to sometimes read between the lines and trust a person's character that you do know, right? And so you get back to Acts chapter 15, and we do know the character of Paul. And we do know that Paul is, well, he's a pretty good judge of circumstances, okay? And so the next time we hear about this, we hear that, hey, Barnabas, let's go and, you know, let's strike up the band one more time, right? Let's do this one more, let's do it again. And Barnabas is like, sounds great, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul's like, hold the phone. You know, obviously I'm paraphrasing, right? We're not taking John with us. We don't know exactly what was said. He just says, we're not taking John with us. He's not going. I'm sure there was a lot more conversation of, do you remember when? And what did that do to us? And I'm sure there was a lot of conversation. All we know, and let me just tell you, a lot of times when there's a division with people that you know are close, and by the way, if at any point in this message you're like, think of a marriage context, that's not the context, because a marriage context is a covenant relationship. Those don't be broken, right? That's my speak, right? You don't break a covenant relationship, okay? But there are times when you think, I'm going to be yoked up with this person, like as far as in the ministry, forever. And there are times when it's like, there are things said that nobody else knows other than what was said between them, okay? And so anyway, and Barnabas is like, no, we're taking John. And Paul's like, no, we're not. He's not going. And it says the contention was so sharp between them that they were divided asunder, meaning the band's broken, right? Well, we're not getting back together. I mean, this is like Oasis, man. This band ain't getting back together. I'm telling you, like some bands, they get back together. That one, it ain't happening. So anyway, if you want a title, and I'm going to have to move quickly, because, and it's really good for me to move quickly, because if we dwell here, it's just not good. And so sometimes you just don't dwell in certain passages, okay? But it's good to understand. So if you're looking for a title, just title it The Great Breakup, right? Just title it The Great Breakup. You know, if there was ever a breakup in the Bible that you didn't want to see happen, it was Paul and Barnabas, right? Paul and Barney, they did some stuff, man, and it was great. You know, I always tell you guys, because I heard this one time, and, you know, I stole it and I use it as my own. You should always have a Paul in your life, somebody you're learning from. You should always have a Timothy in your life, somebody you're investing in. And you should always have a Barnabas in your life, somebody that you're kind of going through it with, right? And a lot of times when we say that, or when I say that, we always have somebody that jumps in our mind. Man, I'll serve with that person forever, right? We're just locked arms. We're going to go forever. And, you know, and you think that's the case. Like, there's no way I will ever quit serving with this person. Like, God's brought us through so much together. And I'm just telling you, you don't ever know. You just don't ever know. And so we'll get into some details on that. So anyway, The Great Breakup. So like every 90s rock band and so many country songs after them, Paul and Barnaby, they just can't keep it together anymore. They just can't go anymore. It's just not going to work anymore. They can't do it anymore. And so, but why? That's the big question that so many people want to ask. And honestly, we don't completely know the answer to. And that's what's frustrating about something like this, is because there's got to be an answer. Like, there's got to be something that happened that was like, oh, I get it. That makes so much sense why Paul was so adamant. So, but anyway, but why? Why couldn't the first great missionary duo figure it out for the sake of the ministry, right? It's like every, you know, marriage that goes bad. Well, can't you work it out for sake of the kids or, you know, whatever? And, you know, so why couldn't they do it for the sake of the ministry? And, you know, here's what everybody really wants to know. Who was at fault, right? Who was right and who was wrong? Because, you know, that's what everybody... Somebody's got to be right and somebody's got to be wrong. Let me just tell you, that doesn't have to be the case, by the way. Somebody doesn't have to be right and somebody doesn't have to be wrong for things to go wrong. It just happens. Who was wrong? First and foremost, and this really doesn't have too much to do with this story other than I need to point this out because, well, there's a really good opportunity to point this out. There was never a clear leader. In life, and more importantly in ministry, there has to be a clear leader. Because if there's not a clear leader, inevitably, there will be a division. There will be a clash of who is the leader. There was never a clear leader with Paul and Barnabas. They went and served side by side, and that's great. Like it's like going and planting a church. You could take your best friend to go plant a church and be like, we're going to go and we're going to transform this city for Christ. Let me just tell you, it's a recipe for disaster. Somebody has to be the leader. If there's not a leader, you just can't. You just can't. It's like Sam. It would be like Sam and Brenton going and planting a church somewhere. If they didn't decide before they went who was the leader and who was the supporting cast, it would be terrible. Because inevitably, they're getting different words from the Lord, right? There has to be a leader, right? That's why with our pastoral team, there's a leader. Yeah, we've got a pastoral team, but Brian's the head. You know, and that's why in your marriage, you know, as hard as it is sometimes, you know, there's a clear leader. Somebody has to be the final say inevitably, right? And so first and foremost, there was never a clear leader. And so it was a recipe for disaster. But anyway, let me just give you three perspectives to kind of view this heart issue from. Because let me just tell you, it really boils down to a heart issue from three different guys, right? And so I don't have a ton of time to get into this, but I want to just kind of show you from three different views how this thing kind of went down. And then I'll give you some just personal takeaways that I may or may not have some personal insight on, and you know, we can just wrap this thing up. Okay, so the first perspective, right? So I already went back to Acts 13. We kind of saw how we got here. We're in Acts 15 now. By the way, for those of you who are like, yeah, but 2 Timothy hasn't been written yet. So Paul doesn't have the insight of years of experience. He's got two chapters, maybe a couple years, right, of since the first thing happened. Because I already know you Bible students are like, yeah, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul was like, he's profitable for the ministry. You're right, he ended up profitable for the ministry. Praise the Lord. Sorry, I'm spitting. Praise the Lord. I'll back up. That he worked it out. My bad, man. But he didn't have that insight. It's too often as Bible students, we're like, yeah, if you just read this, that hadn't been written yet because life hadn't been lived yet. Sometimes you got to do the best you can with what you got. Let me just say, like, as a parent of teenagers, there is no book on how to do this. You got to do the best you can with what you got. You know, you can ask advice from people, but no two kids are the same. No two families are the same. And so that's the first thing that comes to mind when I think of this. It's always easy to look back and say, well, yeah, we should have just done this because, you know, looking back, they turned out like this. I'm just telling you, there was a time that we didn't know if tomorrow was going to turn out, let alone, like, how everything was going to turn out. So, like, he didn't know. So 2 Timothy hasn't been written yet. So, yes, the Bible students that want to say, yeah, he ended up profitable for the ministry. He did end up that way. Praise the Lord. So let's just look at it. So let's just look at it a little bit from John Mark's perspective, right? So he goes on their first trip. We don't really know why he went on the trip in the first place. We didn't see where God called him to the trip. I don't know if he got invited. I don't know if he was just like, hey, God's telling me I need to go with you guys. We don't really know, okay? We can only assume that God called him or that at least God confirmed to him after he was invited that going was the right thing to do. Because let me just tell you, if you're going without confirmation, you're going, you know, looking for a disaster, okay? And I'm talking about into the ministry. I'm talking about onto the field. I'm talking about on a mission trip. I'm talking about, like, to work tomorrow. If you don't know you're supposed to be there, I'm just telling you, it may not work out so well. You need to know why you're there. You need to know why you're at where you're at. Because when something comes up, you've got something to stand on, okay? And I'll get more to that in a minute. So he goes. We don't know why, but he was in. All we know is that he's there. We don't even know completely the details of what all was going on. We know a lot of what was happening while they were on this trip, but we don't know everything. And so all we know is that he leaves the field in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. He leaves the field. He leaves the work. And I would say most importantly, he leaves the guys that he's serving with. Right in the middle of battle. I mean, the military's got a term for that. We don't really use that in the ministry. But I'm just telling you, it's the same thing. When you leave who you're with, that you're fighting with, that you're in the battle with, when you're just like, you know what, I'm out. That's hard. As the guy left on the field. And that's all I want to say. That's hard. Because it's just hard. And so that's all I know about John Mark at this time. Is he leaves the field, he leaves the work, and he leaves the guys he's with. Right? And that's all I know. And it may have been a family emergency. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm just telling you what I do know. That's who he left. If you wanted me to explain it the best, in my own words, and I've heard other leaders, pastors say this as well, we have a term for this. We call it playing the God card. You know, and here's what I mean by that. There's always a trump card, and I'm not talking about the president this time, right? There's always a card that, like, you can play that trumps everything else, right? If you've ever played cards, like, you know, there's a card that's better than that card, right? And you always keep that one in your back pocket. And we call this playing the God card. And let me just, in my own words, give you the best way that I can explain this. When somebody wants out, for whatever reason, they play the God card. They say, well, God told me I'm supposed to move. I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to leave. I'm supposed to go over here. I'm supposed to do this. And they're like, well, God told me to. And here's what I know enough about spiritual authority to know that once you say God said so, it doesn't matter what I say. It's not changing your mind. And you know, maybe God did say so. So I'm staying out of it. Once you tell me that God said so, all right, man, I wish you the best of luck. I would encourage you to maybe show me in the Bible where God said so. Like, give me a little piece about this thing. But the problem is, a lot of times the people that play the God card, they don't really have anything to show you. It's the last-ditch effort. It's the, well, God said so. Okay. And so, like, I can only assume that John Mark, for whatever reason, said, I got to go back. We don't know if he gave reasons. He said, God says I'm supposed to go home. Okay. He did, right? There's always a trump card, and when you play your God card, you're basically saying that what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing no matter what, because this is what God told me to do. This is where knowing why you are where you are is so important, by the way. If you don't have clear answers as to why you're here, then it doesn't take much to decide to leave. If you didn't ever have clear direction to say this is why you are here, then it's not going to take a lot to sway you to leave, especially when things get hard. That's why, like, even when you're picking a church, right? Even when you're, you know, landing in a ministry, you need to know, did God say to be there? Because if he did, even when the kids are screaming, you're like, I'm supposed to be here, right? Even when things are really hard, you're like, this is where I'm supposed to be. Even when new opportunities pop up and you're like, man, God, is this what you're calling me to do? Well, until I tell you something different, son, yeah, because I told you to be there. I'm just saying, like, this is why. John Mark, he thinks that now some years have passed, and they have, that he should get another chance. And maybe he should. I don't know. I wasn't there. But he thinks, hey, they're going on this next trip. I want to go. He tells Barney, like, hey, can I get in? And Barnabas is like, yeah, we're taking John with us. And he thinks he should get another shot. But let me just tell you, and some of you will get this reference. Once you choose to step outside the circle of trust, you might not ever get back in.
I don't get that reference.
It's from a movie. It's from a not-so-godly movie. But the theme of what it is, like, once you step outside the circle of trust, you might not ever get back in. And, like, there's you can laugh at that. It's kind of funny. But, like, for real, once you step outside the circle of trust, you have no right to be back in. It's only through grace. And so let me tell you, young Christian, like, think hard about the decisions you make. Know why you are where you are. And just seek God's face, especially when it's time to make a big move. Like, you should seek God's face when it's time to make any move. But I'm just saying, when it's time to make a big move, you better make sure God's in it. Like, I'm telling you, the finances might be in it, right? The world might be in it. Your kids might be in it. All these different things might be in it. I'm just telling you, you better make sure God's in it. Because I had a wise person tell me one time, the devil hasn't lost his real estate license yet. People always want to say, well, God sold my house. It must mean it's time for me to move. We just put it on the market just to see what would happen. And it sold, and we got more than we were asking for. And they're just like, it must be of God. The devil hasn't lost his real estate license. What's the Word of God say about it? I'm telling you, if God wants you to make a move, He'll make it clear in His Word, not just circumstances. Too often people, they're just like, oh, the circumstances are, the stars are lining up. Yep, the little G-God of the world has a lot of power right now. You better stick with what you know is the Word of God. Is He telling you to go? Is He telling you to stay? Anyway, okay, let's look at this from Paul's perspective. I got to get moving. Paul knows the damage that was done to the work when John walked out. I'm not even talking about personally. I'm talking about he knows the damage that was done to the work when he walked out. Years had passed, and they were still in the same church. So it's not like they were like strangers. Paul's still here. John Mark's still here. They still go to the same church. Like, you can't go in and out of this church without at least knowing some things about people, right? You kind of look around. You're like, hey, they're faithful in the ministry. Hey, they don't ever work in the ministry. Hey, they're here every single week. Hey, like, I see them once a month. Like, you just kind of learn patterns about people. Like, how bought in really are they? And I understand circumstances happen, all these different things. I'm not saying you got to be at the church every time the door's open. I'm just saying you kind of learn some things. And Paul isn't no stranger to John Mark. He's kind of been watching how things are going over the last few years. Let me just tell you, just real quick, between verse 35 and 36, that's almost a five-year gap, okay? So between when they say, hey, we're staying and we're just kind of helping the church out, and when Paul says, hey, let's just jump, let's go back out and see how they're doing, that's almost a five-year span. So it's not like he hasn't had time to just kind of evaluate how John's doing, right, spiritually. So you got to just trust that maybe he knows what's going on. Anyway, maybe Paul should have had more grace. You know, he's the author of a lot of grace-filled books. Maybe he should have. Remember, this is only two chapters after what happened. So, you know, maybe it's always, hindsight's always 20/20. It's always easy to look back and say, I should have done this. Or maybe he should have had more grace. Maybe not. Paul did what he thought was best as a leader, not for himself, but instead for the ministry. And that's one of the hardest things to do as a leader. To do not what's probably best in your interest, but to do what's best for the interest of the ministry as a whole. You got to make hard decisions sometimes. Remember, once you pull the God card without any scripture to confirm it, you don't really get another chance. You don't really get to come back and say, well, man, change my mind. God said I'm supposed to be here. Like, you really lose all validity. Because if God said, He's going to be in it. Like, if you really trust by faith that God sent you and you're following the Lord, when you say, oh, God sent me here, and then the next thing happens, well, it's not really working very well. Okay, now God told me to come back, and God sent me. When you see things like that, you're like, okay, the writing's kind of on the wall, but maybe you're following you and not the Lord. And that's hard to see. But you got to call a spade a spade. It's why it's so important in the hard times to remember, if God's called you to it, He's going to get you through it. If God called you to the field, man, one of the main things, and I don't really have time for this at all, but one of the main things I've always heard about Mike Blake is at MCBC, they had a lot of hard years. So much so that, like, they should have thrown in the towel hard years. I've heard Brian Hedges tell me this story a lot of times. Like, even he himself counseled Mike, like, man, maybe it's time to, like, wrap it up and, you know, regroup, retool. That's the term ministry leaders like, you know, let's just retool and send back out. And what he told me that Mike told him, like, he got it. Like, he said, God told me to burn the ships. I ain't going nowhere. He got here and we burnt the ships. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to die here. And, like, that's the attitude of somebody that knows if God's called you to it, He's going to get you through it. Right? Instead of somebody who's like, well, it's getting hard. It's time to go do this or it's time to go do that. And, you know, we've all got somebody in mind when we think of things like that. The mission and the ministry must be greater than your worldly comfort and desires. The mission and God's ministry, they have to be better than, let me just say it another way. God's mission has to be bigger than your emotions. well, I feel like God's saying this, or I don't feel like God's working here. I don't really know how this is working. And I'm just telling you, it has to work like that. Like it has to be. The mission of God is greater than you. The one single statement that will cause contention so sharp in some of your closest relationships that eventually you'll have no other chance than to split. And Paul says, you know what? My convictions are greater than my emotions. And then let me just wrap it up, because Barney's pretty quick, right? He sticks his neck out for John Mark. Why? We don't really know. It's never bad, let me say this, to err on the side of grace. Just don't become emotionally involved, too emotionally involved to judge clearly. It's okay to give somebody a second chance, but don't become so involved in your stance that you can't judge things clearly, okay? You have to be willing to say, you know what, I was wrong. In the end, you know, if you flip to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, even Paul himself says in a letter that John Mark is, salute John, he's profitable for the ministry. So he works some things out. So let me just give you a couple of personal takeaways from this, and just five things you can just jot down that maybe God has showed me through times like this in life that, you know, if you want to write them down, you can, but just some personal things just to take from a story like this. Number one, don't pull the God card unless you've got God's word confirming it. Don't pull the God card unless you've got God's word confirming it. It'll destroy people. Number two, the mission must be greater than my emotions. God's mission has to be bigger than how you feel about it. It has to be. The third thing you can kind of take away from this, spiritual growth will grow you back into the right relationships and will grow you away from those that are holding you back. As you grow spiritually, we see this with John Mark, it grew him back into the right relationships, right? He proved enough that, like, he's profitable for the ministry. But personally, I can tell you this. Spiritual growth on your part will allow you to grow away from the wrong relationships that you may have thought were right, that you may have thought would last forever, that you may have thought, like, you know, we're going to do this thing forever. I'm just telling you, like, sometimes spiritual growth, it'll take you away from the relationships that are really holding you back. They just do. And it's hard. Like, it's really hard to see somebody that you think, I'm going to serve with forever. And I'm not talking about your spouse, because you're one flesh. You got no choice other than to serve with them, right? You chose them, by the way. It's really hard to have somebody that you said, I'm going to serve with forever, to know that, like, this can't go on anymore. We just can't. It is not working. It's like every bad relationship. At some point, you got to know, like, this just ain't going to work. It's not good for anybody, right? And it's definitely not good for me. It's not happening. Allow your spiritual growth to grow you away from the wrong things, even though you may have thought that they were right. Don't be too proud to say, you know what, I was wrong. I judged this incorrectly. Number four, this is something that God really has showed me over the years. No Christian alive is a failure. They may just be stuck on their John Mark era, right? I had years of my life like that. I was stuck in my John Mark era. You know, if you're alive and breathing, don't, for one, God hasn't written you off. And as a ministry leader, don't write others off, because if God was done, he'd be done with them. They might just be stuck on their John Mark era. So, you know, maybe some controlled grace. I like to use that phrase. Some controlled grace is what they need to grow back on track. You know, so at some point, maybe you have to be the Barnabas in the situation and say, I'm going to give you a little controlled grace here. And there's some parameters on it, but I want to see you grow back in. Let's get out of the John Mark era. Let's get into the profitable for the ministry era. And then the last thing that you need to know when something like this happens, Jesus and his mission and his calling on your life, they've got to be greater than all of your relationships. I mean, even your marriage relationship, Jesus has to be greater than that, okay? But especially when we're talking about, oh, I'm going to serve with this person forever. We're going to do this forever. We're going to go plant churches forever. We're going to do this, that, and the other. I'm just telling you, Jesus has to be greater. And if at any point the focus isn't the same, Jesus is greater, like, it doesn't take long to realize the things that I thought we would always be, like, right here with, we're not right here with anymore. Like, I know this is what God's telling me. I know this is what the Word of God says. And I kind of look at your life, and it's like, it's over here. It's kind of Laodicean. It's kind of both sides of the fence. It's kind of hot and it's kind of warm. And I personally just can't be around that. I can't do that. And you really want to just be like, man, just get back on track. Just submit to the Lord. Just understand that, like, hard things happen, but God's got a purpose in all of them. And instead, you're like, I can't say anything because, well, God told me I was supposed to. All right, man. I wish you the best. But I'm telling you, the contention is so sharp between us that we can't do this anymore. Those are like separation, reevaluation stages in your discipleship growth, by the way. These are hard times, but you know, even the greatest duo in the Bible, and they, at some point God was like, and let me just say, God allowed all of it. Okay? So I don't think anybody was right or wrong. He allowed all of it for me to learn things from it, because there's times that when you go through something and you're like, God, why are you allowing this? Like, I thought we were on the same team. I thought we were... Sometimes friendly fire is the hardest fire. Okay? And so anyway, that's kind of a hard thing to hear going into VBS week. And I don't know. God's got a purpose in all of it, guys. God's doing a lot of things in a lot of different people's lives in Passpoint right now, by the way. Know why you're at where you're at. And if you don't, start there. Know that God has called you where you're at. So that way, when whatever happens, you know that I'm supposed to be here, or you know that, God, you're going to have to give me something so clear from this book that I know it's time to change. But it's not just going to be some feeling. It's not going to be some, well, I think this is best, or this seems like the right thing. And like, we're all going through a lot of different things. I would say this. We should pray for each other more often than we do. And I know a lot of you guys pray for each other a lot, but there's some big things getting prayed about right now with a lot of different people. Like, I'm not just talking about any one person in particular. And be lifting people up, because God's doing something at HBF, right? And so I want to know that we're on one mind, or we're of one mind and one accord, okay? Because the last thing I want to see is division so sharp in Passpoint, right? And so lift each other up, hold each other accountable, and by all means, don't pull the God card unless you've got some scripture to back it up. Because it's really hard to just be like, all right, man, if that's what he's telling you to do, it's hard, right? All right, so yay for VBS. That's a really awesome link arms with the people you're serving with this week. Right? God's allowed us to have some really awesome people around here, okay? And so it's kind of sobering because, I mean, some of you guys know some of the circumstances, some of you don't. I've been through some of this, okay? And God allowed it, and I'm stronger because of it. Because, so anyway, serve the Lord. Know why you are where you are. Know why you're serving in VBS this week. Because let me just tell you, it's not always fun. VBS is fun. But every moment of VBS isn't always fun. Overall, it's fun, right? And let me just tell you, it's worth it because God's in it. So let's pray. I'm praying for Bo as he preaches to us today. This is one of those passages. If you know, you know. If you don't, just bookmark it and remember it, because there'll be a day. God's always consecrating everybody differently. Don't live in your John Mark era forever, right? Figure it out. Follow him. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for loving us. Lord, I thank you for men like John Mark who struggled to figure it out but yet did. I thank you for guys like Barnabas who had enough grace, even in what must have been really hard circumstances, to give him another shot. And I thank you for guys like Paul who had enough wisdom to know that it wasn't the right time, at least for the people he was leading. Nobody was wrong in this situation, I don't think, Lord, because if somebody was wrong, you would have told us. We know that in the end, you can reconcile all things, and I think that's a great picture of what we see in 2 Timothy as Paul's ending his life, that, you know, John Mark, he's profitable. Lord, if we're breathing, there's still purpose. And so I pray that you would just reaffirm that in our hearts, allow us to know that there is nobody that's washed up, that's a failed, this, that, or the other. Lord, you can use anybody. Lord, there were times in my life that I was sure that I was John Mark, that I really wasn't that profitable for anything, and and yet you chose to use me. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just bless our relationships, give us wisdom, allow us to know that you're greater than any of our thoughts, any of our emotions. And, Lord, I pray that we know why we are where we are, so that when the winds of doctrine come, we know what we're standing on. Be with Bo as he preaches today. Get the glory for all of it. In Christ.